In what I was just saying, I was talking about nurturing. Now, how many people know that word, nurturing? I'll give you an example. This poor plant needs some nurturing. Can you see that a lot of its leaves have fallen off? Poor thing. So, what do you think I could do to nurture it, to take care of it? Yes, what do you think?
Like some water.
Some water? Yes, I'm on. Right. I will put this on. Okay. Right, it could do with some water and anything else. What do you think?
Light.
Light, that's right. Yes. And it might need, I'll show you what else I've got. Some miracle grow, because it's feeling very, very poorly, that plant. Now, if we gave that to one of you, though, that wouldn't do any good, though, would it? So what sort of nurturing would you need? What sort of things do your mums and dads do to look after you? Yes, Abby. They feed you. What sort of food do they feed you? Things you need to grow. So, unfortunately, not sweets, not crisps, not McDonald's. Sorry about that. So, good things for you. But you can have some of those bad things, or not so good things, occasionally, as long as you don't have too much. Right, anything else they need to give you? What about some? What do you think? That's right, exercise is good as well, yes. They give you clothes, yes, because we all be a bit chilly. We have to walk around with no clothes on. That look very strange.
They
yes.
take you to school.
They take you to school. Why do you go to school? Yes, why do you go? To learn things, yes, that's very important. How lucky we are in this country that everyone can go to school. Because there's other countries in the world where people, where children are desperate to go to school. But there's no school for them, or they're particularly girls. They're punished for going to school. So we're very lucky. Yes?
Love.
Love. That's a very good one. Love. They give you a cuddle. That's lovely, isn't it? Yes, Abby? That's it. So a nice home to live in. And clothes and love, yes. I think love's the most important thing, isn't it? Being loved, being cherished. Right. Mothering Sunday is perhaps a bit too commercialised now. I think the shops think it's another opportunity to sell people things. But it didn't start that way. When many people worked long hours as servants in large houses or on farms or in factories, Mothering Sunday was the one day in the year when they were allowed to visit their parents. And sometimes they took a small gift, like some flowers picked from the side of the road, to say thank you for all their mothers had done for them. And they also went with their families to their mother church to thank God. Mothering Sunday is still an opportunity to visit parents and grandparents, whom we don't see as much as we might like during the year. And it's also a time to thank God for our mothers and for God's love for us. But we need to remember that Mothering Sunday may be difficult for some people, for those whose mothers have died, those whose relationships with their parents are not happy, and those who would like to be mothers but can't be, and those whose children have died.
Luke chapter 15, verses 1 to 3 and 11 to 32. One day when many tax collectors and other outcasts came to listen to Jesus, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law started grumbling. "This man welcomes outcasts and even eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. There was once a man who had two sons. The younger one said to him, "Father, give me my share of the property now." So the man divided his property between his two sons. After a few days, the younger son sold his part of the property and left home with the money. He went to a country far away where he wasted his money in reckless living. He spent everything he had. Then a severe famine spread over that country and he was left without a thing. So he went to work for one of the citizens of that country, who sent him out to his farm to take care of the pigs. He wished he could fill himself with the bean pods the pigs ate, but no one gave him anything to eat. At last he came to his senses and said, "All of my father's hired workers have more than they can eat, and here I am about to starve. I will get up and go to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned against God and against you. I am no longer to be fit called your son. Treat me as one of your hired workers.' So he got up and started back to his father.
He was still a long way from home when his father saw him. His heart was filled with pity, and he ran, threw his arms round his son and kissed him. 'Father,' the son said, 'I have sinned against God and against you. I am no longer fit to be called your son.' But the father called to his servants. 'Hurry,' he said, 'bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet. Then go and get the prize calf and kill it, and let us celebrate with a feast. For this son of mine was dead, but now he is alive. He was lost, but now he has been found.' And so the feasting began. In the meantime, the elder son was out in the field. On his way back, when he came close to the house, he heard the music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, 'What's going on?' 'Your brother has come back home,' the servant answered, 'and your father has killed the prize calf because he got him back safe and sound.' The elder brother was so angry that he would not go into the house. So his father came out and begged him to come in. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I have worked for you like a slave, and I have never disobeyed you, your orders. What have you given me? Not even a goat to have a feast with my friends. But this son of yours wasted all your money on prostitutes, and when he comes back home, you kill the prize calf for him.' 'My son,' the father answered, 'you are always here with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be happy, because your brother was dead, but now he is alive. He was lost, but now he has been found.'"
Wasn't that read well? Well done, girls. I think I deserve a clap for that. So that was a story about two brothers, wasn't it? And one of the brothers said to his dad, "I want my share of what I'm going to inherit on you when you're dead now." And his father gave it to him. And then what did the son do? Did he go and invest it wisely? Who heard that bit of the story? No, he didn't, did he? He just squandered the money and had a good time. And in the end, he spent it all and had no money left. And then there was a famine in the country where he was, and he had to go and look after the pigs. And he was so hungry, he was going to eat the food the pigs were going to eat. Ugh, not very nice, was that? Ugh. And in the end, he came to his senses and he thought, even my father's servants get better treatment than me. At least they have food to eat. So he went home. And when he was quite a long way off, he could see someone running towards it. And he looked again and he thought, it's my dad. And his dad had been looking out for him every day since he'd been away, hoping that he would come back. And when at last he saw him, he was so happy that he ran down the road to greet him. And he gave him, what did he give him? Yes. A big hug and a big kiss. Yes. And he was so pleased. And then he had a big party for his son. But then we go back to the other son. And when he heard what was going on, how did he feel? Anybody? Not very happy. He thought, well, I've been a good son. I've stayed here and I've worked for my father. And he's not giving me a party. And he was very, very unhappy. But his father said, yes, I know that I'm giving a party for the son who's gone away, but you've been with me the whole time. And I have been a father to you. I've been looking after you, even when your brother's been away. So if we look at how the father reacts with the son, we learn about being a parent, both being good and bad. The father loved his youngest son, and he's willing to give up a third of the value of his property when his son asks for it. He worries about his son when he's away and watches anxiously for his return. And when he sees him coming, he runs to greet him. And then they have their feast. Whatever the son has done to hurt and disappoint him, the father still loves him and supports him and forgives him. And good parents are like that. God is like that. But the father also has his faults, doesn't he? He neglects to reassure his eldest son that he loves him too. And he takes him for granted. In his joy at the return of the younger son, he doesn't think of the effect that might have on the elder son. If we have difficult relations with our parents or children, then it's good to see how God can use the faults of the father in this story. Just as the father forgave his penitent youngest son, so God forgives us when we don't get things right.
Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. During this time, a man from the tribe of Levi married a woman of his own tribe, and she bore him a son. When she saw what a fine baby he was, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could not hide him any longer, she took a basket made of reeds and covered it with tar to make it watertight. She put the baby in it, and then placed it in the tall grass at the edge of the river. The baby's sister stood some distance away to see what would happen to him. The king's daughter came down to the river to bathe while her servants walked along the bank. Suddenly, she noticed the basket in the tall grass and sent a slave woman to get it. The princess opened it and saw a baby boy. He was crying and she felt sorry for him. This is one of the Hebrew babies, she said. Then his sister asked her, shall I go and call a Hebrew woman to act as a wet nurse? Please do, she answered. So the girl went and brought the baby's own mother. The princess told the woman, take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you. So she took the baby and nursed him. Later, when the child was old enough, she took him to the king's daughter, who adopted him as her own son. She said to herself, I pulled him out of the water, and so I name him Moses.
Thank you, Andrew. So that's another story about a mother and a baby. And we've done a collage in Adventurers. Sadie's. And Ian, would you like to come up to hold it? And is Dylan as well, would you like to come up? Where's she gone? Okay, so would you like to tell me a bit about the collage we did? First of all, who have we got here?
Baby Moses.
Baby Moses, yes, there he is in his basket, floating in the river. And then, oh, that's, do you remember who that was? The princess. No, she's hiding, right. That was the princess there. There, what she was, and there's her servant with a big fan. It was very hot because the sun was shining so brightly. And then she's got another servant, and she sent that servant into the river to get the baby out. And over here, very well hidden, whoop, got a bit loud there, is Miriam, the baby's sister, who was keeping an eye on him. Right, okay, thank you very much. So this is a story from the old part of the Bible, the Old Testament. And it was when the Israelites were living in Egypt. And the Egyptians were worried that the Israelite slaves were producing so many children that they would band together and take over Egypt. So the king of Egypt, the Pharaoh, he did a very terrible thing. He issued an order that all the baby Israelite boys must be killed. Poor Moses' mother, she must have been terrified, mustn't she? She thought she couldn't let the soldiers kill him, so she made a basket from reeds, covered it with a tar to make it waterproof, and put it in the river. And then Moses' big sister Miriam was given the job of hiding in the reeds and keeping an eye on the baby. But then one day, Pharaoh's daughter, the princess, she came to bathe in the river. And she saw the baby in his basket. And she must have thought, well, this must be one of the Israelite babies. And I think she must have had a kind heart and that she wanted to rescue him and take care of him. So she took him out of the river and she decided that she would adopt him. But because he was such a little baby, she needed someone to look after him, like a nanny or a nurse. And Miriam came rushing forward and said, I know somebody who can do that. And that was Moses' mother. But she didn't tell the princess it was Moses' mother. Moses' mother must have been very pleased then that she could look after Moses and that he would be protected by being the adopted son of the princess. And for anybody who knows the rest of the story of Moses, will realize that when he grew up, he led the Israelite people out of Egypt into a new promised land, and they weren't slaves anymore.